Imagine standing on the edge of a brand new world. Everything familiar behind you, everything ahead, completely unknown. That's exactly where Joshua found himself. Moses, the great and trusted leader of Israel, was dead. For 40 years, Moses had been the steady voice of leadership. Now the responsibility rested on Joshua's shoulders. He had to lead a nation across the Jordan River into hostile territory, a land that was filled with enemies, walled cities, giants, and countless uncertainties. It would have been natural, even expected, for Joshua to feel overwhelmed, anxious, maybe even paralyzed by fear. And yet God's word to Joshua was not, be careful, or take it easy, but be strong and courageous. In fact, God repeats it three times, as if to drive it deep into Joshua's heart. Today we're talking about courage. Not just the kind of courage that wins physical battles, but the everyday, real-life courage to live faithfully in a world of uncertainty and fear. Here's the big idea for us today. Your courage today shapes the faith of others tomorrow. Your courage today shapes the faith of others tomorrow. The way you face fear and move forward in obedience leaves a legacy. Someone is watching. Your children, parents. Your grandchildren, grandparents. Your coworkers, your neighbors, and your courage will help them have faith when it's their turn. So today, let's open our hearts as we open God's word. Would you stand with me for the reading of Scripture? We're going to first read from Joshua chapter 1, verses 6 through 9. And then I will be reading from Hebrews 11, verses 32 and 34. So first, Joshua chapter 1, verses 6 through 9. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. And now turn to Hebrews 11, verses 32 to 34. And what more shall I say? I do not have time to tell about Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, about David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained what was promised, who shut the mouths of lions, quenched the fury of the flames, and escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned to strength, and who became powerful in battle and routed foreign armies. Let's go ahead and pray. Father God, Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for how you speak to us, Father God, through it, Lord. Lord, today, Lord, I pray that you would just open hearts, Father God, soften their hearts. Open our ears, Father God, that we may hear you through your word. Lord, and that we may be able to walk it out faithfully, Father God. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. So let's dig into three truths about living with legacy-shaping courage. The first truth is that God calls us to courage. He calls us to courage. Look again at Joshua 1, 6 through 9. God doesn't suggest courage as a bonus option. He commands it. Be strong and courageous. Be strong and very courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. See, God wasn't telling Joshua to feel brave. He was calling Joshua to choose courage, even in the face of fear. Here's a key truth here. Courage isn't the absence of fear. It's obedience in the presence of fear. Let me read that again. Courage isn't the absence of fear. It is not the absence of fear. It's obedience in the presence of fear. See, Joshua had every human reason to hesitate. He was stepping into a leadership role that was bigger than himself. He was facing battles that he couldn't predict. He knew his own limits. But God wasn't asking Joshua to lead out of his own confidence. He was calling him to lead out of obedience and trust. There will be moments when you don't feel ready, when fear creeps in. Starting a new ministry that God has placed on your heart, maybe. Speaking up about your faith in a hostile environment, maybe. Taking a moral stand at work when it could cost you. Facing a devastating health diagnosis. Navigating a relationship filled with uncertainty. These are all things that come up in our lives. See, God's call is still the same. Be strong and courageous. You know, I can remember getting called by God to preach. I remember several times my friend telling me, I need you to get up with me to lead worship. And I'm like, back then I wasn't playing guitar, so I was just singing. That's scary. Of course it's scary. Did I have fear? Yeah, I had fear. I was afraid. But you know what? Until you take that first step, that fear is going to be there every single time. You need to take that first step of faith. That's what faith is all about, is conquering those fears. Conquering those fears that are there that continue to hinder you consistently. How can one know their full potential if we continue to be stopped by our fears, right? You know, and it's not because you're fearless, because that fear is still there. I mean, when I fly on a plane, I'm afraid of flying, guys. Deathly afraid of flying on the plane. I take the step to get on the plane. I get there. If my anxiety gets the best of me, guess what I do? I open God's word. Why? Because when I read God's word, it gives me peace. I have peace that comes over me. That's what works for me. May not work for others, but that's what works for me. So I do that. You know, if I never flew, guess what? I wouldn't be going very many places. I'd have to drive. And of course, the expense would grow. I mean, it would skyrocket, because if I wanted to go down the lower 48, you know, if I visited my mom, that's over 3,000 miles down to LA. So it would cost a lot of money. See, courage is not rooted in your own emotions. It's rooted in who you trust. Who do you trust? And here's the beautiful thing. When you step out in courage, it doesn't change your story. It doesn't just do that. It has a ripple effect that inspires others. You know, there may be someone out there that has the same fear that I do of flying. You know, hopefully one day, you know, maybe it has, and I just don't know. I mean, I'm sure people have seen me on the plane whip out my Bible and start reading God's word. And, you know, I know Nanette knows, because she usually has to feel the brunt of it when I squeeze her hand or, you know, or something like that. And because I'm deathly afraid of flying. I mean, I do not like it. Courage doesn't stay contained. People see it. They notice it. And they're like, I want that. So it spreads. The second point here is courage is contagious. It is contagious. If you'll flip with me over to Hebrews 11, those verses that we just read, this chapter is often called the Hall of Faith. It's a collection of ordinary people who lived extraordinary lives because of faith and courage. Hebrews 11:32 says, "And what more shall I say? I do not have time to tell about Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, and Samuel, and the prophets." See, these people conquered kingdoms. They administered justice. They shut the mouths of lions, quenched the fury of flames, escaped the sword. But here's the part that we can't miss. Every single one of them was an ordinary person. They were an ordinary person, like you and me. They were not a superhero. Gideon was hiding when God called him. He was hiding. I remember when God called me. It was almost like hiding. I was in the back row of the sanctuary, very back row next to the exit door. Not too many people sit up in the front row. God, if God wants to find you, he'll find you. I'm just letting you know that. You can't hide from God. Gideon thought he could, but God called him. David was a teenage boy, and he won against a giant. A teenager, a shepherd boy, slew a giant. Wow. Samson, he had massive moral failures. Jephthah, he came from a broken and rejected family. Yet when they chose faith over fear, their courage left a mark on history. Courage is contagious. When you live courageously, you light a path that others can follow. Think about the people who inspired your own faith. It probably wasn't because they lived perfect lives. It was because they modeled faithful courage. A parent who prayed for you when life was hard, maybe. A Sunday school teacher who taught you to trust Jesus. A friend who stayed faithful during a terrible diagnosis. A pastor who preached truth in the face of opposition. That's what I had. I remember my pastor well. When I came to the Lord, he's the one that led me to the Lord and my best friend. They prayed for me, continued to pray for me, showed me how a Christian lives, showed me how a Christian couple lives, because they were both married, showed me how to raise a Christian family. It was awesome. I praise God every day for that. I think about those times. And even, you know, as I remember my pastor, you know, his courage wasn't flashy. My friend's courage wasn't flashy. But it was faithful. It was faithful. And it left a mark on me. And I'm sure that you have people in your lives, if you really go back and think about it, think about those times. You had people in your life who have been praying for you. My mom prayed for me every day for years. Even during the time I was deep into witchcraft, she continued to pray for me. She did not lose faith. She did not lose hope. She continued to pray. So let me ask you this. Who's watching your faith today? I'm going to tell you. There are a lot of people watching you. There was a time when early on in my ministry, when I didn't think that that was happening, I thought what I was doing was just, you know, blowing hot air sometimes when I went into the prisons to minister to inmates. And I go in there and I'm like, what am I doing? I'm not even seeing any fruit. Well, I'm going to tell you, you may not see fruit, but you're planting the seed. See, the seed has to be planted first. Then it has to be watered. Then it takes time for it to grow. Then it takes time to produce fruit. It doesn't happen overnight. You may not be the one that sees the fruit. Just realize that. Realize that there has to be one that actually plants the seed. And that's what I was doing. I was planting the seed. I was doing a little watering, continuing on. But I didn't see any fruit. And I was like, and I quit. I quit going there. But I had a confirmation what was happening from the chaplain of the prison. And he found Nanette at the store that she worked at. She used to work for Cars back before it was Safeway. And she, you know, they, everybody knew Nanette and Kenai, the one that every police officer, fireman, all those emergency workers, they knew Nanette. So they call her up. This chaplain calls her up and says, yeah, your husband was in the, helping in the prison, but he stopped coming and they couldn't understand why. And he said, does he still have the books that he was using to help minister to the inmates? And she said, oh yeah, he's got a bunch of them. She goes, can he bring them to you and I can pick them up from you? Because there's a guy here that wants to finish it. And I was like, wow. This guy was a drug dealer. That's what he was in there for. Drug dealing. And I wasn't seeing anything. But something was happening. Otherwise, he wouldn't have said, I want to finish this study. I want to finish this. And I was like, praise God. Praise God. I didn't see it. But, you know, as I've reflected back on it and what God was doing was that seed was planted. That seed was planted. And it just needed to be continued to be nurtured. And I'm sure today that that guy is producing fruit. I never stayed in touch, never went back to the prison or anything like that. Because it was shortly after that, I think it was shortly after that where I started getting ready to go to our first church, which was in Meadow Lakes. But really, ask yourself that question. Who's watching your faith today? Who's watching you? There are lots of people. I'm going to tell you, your daughter's watching you. Your daughter's watching you. Michaela, I know she's young right now, but I'm going to tell you, your daughter's going to be watching you. Going to be watching you. And they watch me. Those little kids, because they know he's a pastor. He needs to be, you know, telling me about God and stuff. They watch me. They watch you guys and hear. How is your faith? They watch you. And so does everybody else. That's what my whole point is. I mean, I can go right down the list. Husbands, you watch your wives, vice versa. I mean, grandmas and grandkids, you know. Even at work. When I was working at Kenai Chrysler down in Kenai, before I met Nanette, everybody there knew I was a Christian. How did they know that? Well, at lunchtime, at every lunch, I went to the lunchroom, and there was, at first it was just me, but then I'd whip out my Bible, start reading it. Then I'd have two or three other guys that wanted to join in. And it was like, people watch you. They watch what you're doing. And then I had, the owner of the dealership, you know, he wanted me to watch his house because he knew I was a Christian and he could trust me. And then I had other employees want me to watch their house. And I was going through my divorce at the time, so I didn't have really, I lived with the pastor and his wife, but I can go anywhere. So I watched people's houses. You know, that's how I met Annette. Not by watching her house, but I watched a house of a couple that was discipling her. And so all those different things, people watch you. They watch what you say. They watch how you act, how you behave. So whose courage tomorrow might be built because of the way you live today? Wow. Great question, huh? Whose courage tomorrow might be built because of the way you live today? So if you're showing courage and you're out there showing the courage, man, that speaks volumes to your kids. I remember, you know, my dad, he was a police officer. And one of the things I remember about him, he was big and he was strong. I mean, to me as a little kid, he was big. I mean, he was only 5'11". I'm taller than he is now. But he was big. He wore a double X, tore the sleeves out of the shirts because his arms were so big. And you know, and I looked at him and he had, and I looked at him this way because he continued on and he wasn't like a show off or anything, but he worked out a lot. He was strong. And we had this, in junior high, we had a father-son banquet type thing and we went and competed. And my dad lifted the entire weight machine. All of it. Of course, we only came in second because I didn't lift too much. But my dad lifted more than the guy's dad did that won. The only reason why they won by a little bit because the kid lifted more than I did. So I was like, you know, man, I'll tell you. So those things, you know, people watch you, people look at you. They watch how you react. They watch how you behave. So, you know, it could be your children. It could be your coworkers, your neighbors. Your neighbors watch you. You know who my neighbor is? She's not here today. Cheryl. She lives right on a corner here. That's my neighbor. She came because Nanette and I went and asked her to come to church. When she moved in the neighborhood. She moved here from California. I noticed there was a new person living at the end of the block. And I went up to her. It was during Easter time. So I gave her an Easter basket. You know what was in it? Not eggs and things like that. No, I put a Bible in there. I put a devotional in there. I put some treats, because I knew she had a dog. I put some treats in it. For her dog. And then I put some other little things in there. I did put some candies in it, but not a lot. But it was just a neat idea that I found online. And I thought, hey, this may work to break the ice. And it did. Got to pray with her. You know, found out she came up here. She just lost her husband. That wasn't a great, you know. That's hard when you lose someone so close to you and then you move. That's really hard. But that's how you meet people. Break the ice by doing something different, you know? I remember back in the day, my grandmother, she was courageous. I watched her. She'd go up to new neighbors. She'd take them a peach pie, bake them a peach pie, and take it to them and tell them, welcome to the neighborhood. Where's that gone? I think people have gotten afraid. The fear has set in, and we got to move past that. We need to move past that and have courage to step up. Take that step of faith. God will work in and through you every single time. It's, I mean, I loved it. It was great. I never, you know, and was I nervous? Of course I was nervous. I'm going up and talking to a stranger who I have no clue who it is. You know, of course, when I found out she was from California, that made it even better because I'm from California. So I got that, you know, then that gives a talking point. Well, where are you from in California? You know, and then you start talking about different things. And so, yeah, so, but yeah, I remember my grandmother. My grandmother used to do that all the time. A new person move in the area. She'd bake them a pie or maybe she'd make them a dish or something like that and take it, maybe some hot soup on a cold day or something like that. I mean, it was good. I noticed those things. So maybe you're sitting here thinking, well, that's great for Gideon and David and maybe Pastor Brad because he's type A. See, the thing is, you don't have to be type A. Nanette, believe it or not, she is not a type A personality. She has failed that test every single time. She's type B, believe it or not. So if you want an example of a person that is a type B personality, she's afraid every time she gets up to speak. She has fear every time she gets up, every time she sings. When I told her to lead worship, man, that was like, are you kidding me? She was afraid. You know, type A people, yeah, they like to get up and talk and they like to do things and stuff like that. I mean, that's just the way we are. But type B personality, no, they'd rather be sitting there and listening. Right? Just not, you know, not stepping out. But really, you know, you may not feel, you may be thinking that that's great for Goliath or Gideon and David, but that you don't feel that brave. And that's an honest answer. It's an honest answer. Because courage doesn't always feel like courage in the moment. It's not until you take that first step of faith, whatever it may be. Once you take that first step, you see, oh, that wasn't that bad. I can do this again. Right? The truth is, those heroes of faith, they didn't feel fearless either. The first time I got up to sing with my friend and his family, I was scared to death. The first time I taught a Bible or a Sunday school class for kids, I was scared to death. I didn't know what to do. And yeah, I'm type A. I mean, I could talk and stuff, but I was a new Christian. Come on, me? Teach kids the Bible? Really? And my answer to my friend was, well, I don't have any curriculum. He goes, you got a Bible, right? I go, yep, read it. Okay. And so I did teach. But, you know, it was still scary. But then it got even better after I did the lesson. Then I asked them, you probably know the rest of the story. And I was teaching on Joseph and the coat of many colors. So they taught me the rest of Joseph's life after that. And I followed along in the Bible. And they just, you know, told me what, they gave a summary of everything that happened. And I'm like, wow. So I got taught by children. And they weren't fearful. They just did it. They were obedient. They did it. They stepped out in faith. So the truth is, those heroes of faith didn't feel fearless either. They just chose to trust God more than their fear. And that's what it takes. And that leads us to the heart of it all. Real courage doesn't come from within us. It comes from the presence of God that is with us. Okay? It comes from the presence of God that is with us. See, that brings us to point number three. Stand in the strength of the Lord. Let's go back now to where we started. We're going to go back to Joshua 1:9. God doesn't say, be strong because you've got this. He doesn't say that. A lot of people say that these days, don't they? You got this. You got this. He doesn't say that, be strong because you got this. He says, be strong and courageous, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. The presence of God is the key to courageous living. You're never facing your battles alone. When you step into the unknown, God's already there. When you speak up for truth, God stands beside you. When you face fear, uncertainty, or heartache, God strengthens you. It's like a little child crossing a busy street, scared of all the noise and danger. But when that child reaches up and holds their father's hand, they find courage. The child's courage isn't based on their own strength. It's based on their father's presence and power. I told you about my dad. And he was strong. He was strong. See, friends, you're holding your father's hand. You're holding your father's hand. Isaiah 41:10 says, do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. See, when fear whispers, you can't, God declares, I am with you. I am with you. When doubt screams, this is too big, God says, nothing is impossible with me. So the real question today isn't whether fear will come, because fear will come. It will come. The real question is here, how will you respond? Let's take a moment to reflect here. Where is God calling you to courageous obedience today? Is it a step of faith that you've been delaying? Maybe a conversation that you know you need to have? Maybe a ministry that you've been afraid to step into? A place where you need to simply trust God more deeply? See, your courage today is building someone else's faith tomorrow. It may not look spectacular. It may feel quiet, hard, even unnoticed. But heaven's watching. Heaven is watching, and a generation coming behind you is watching too. May they find their courage by the trail that you're blazing today. Let's close with a moment of surrender and prayer. Let's bow our heads. Father, thank you that you do not leave us to face life's battles alone. Today, we choose courage. Not because we feel strong, but because you are strong. Help us to stand firm, to trust you when the path is unclear, and to leave behind a legacy of faith for those who come after us. Make us people who live boldly for your glory. Fill us with your Spirit. Strengthen our hearts and use our lives to light the way for others. In Jesus' powerful name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, thank you for coming. God bless you guys. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May his face shine upon you all week long, 24 hours a day. Amen. God bless.